This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm John Idsty. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice heads to Egypt tomorrow, where she'll meet with President Hosni Mubarak. Free speech activists in the U.S. are hoping she'll speak to him about a jailed Egyptian blogger. 1 month ago, a 22-year-old law student was sentenced to 4 years in prison for what he wrote on his personal website. As our tech contributor Shani Jardin reports, his case has put a spotlight on the growing community of bloggers in Egypt. And this warning, this report contains some graphic audio which some listeners may find disturbing.
His name is Abdul Karim Suleiman Amer. To give you an idea of what he did to get arrested, this is a translation of his final blog post last October.
The mere existence of legal provisions that criminalize freedom of thought and threaten with imprisonment anyone who criticizes religion in any way is a grave defect in the law.
It's ironic, then, that 2 days after this, he was interrogated by Egyptian police. Later, he was convicted of violating the same legal provisions he criticized on his personal blog. Nabil Fahmy is the Egyptian ambassador to the United States.
The genesis of it, frankly, is Mr. Suleiman has been found guilty and he admitted to having basically insulted religion. And that, frankly, is illegal in Egypt.
Karim Amer, as he's known on his blog, was convicted of contempt of religion, specifically Islam, and defaming Egypt's President Hosni Mubarak. Though this is the first time a blogger in Egypt has been convicted by a court for blogging, free speech and political activists are often arrested and detained.
So it's very common whenever there is a sweep of arrests that involves activists that you find bloggers getting arrested.
Egyptian blogger Alech Abdel Fattah spent a month and a half in jail last year for protesting injustice in Egypt's legal system. And just last week, Egyptian authorities targeted him again. Authorities produced a list of opposition activists that included him and other bloggers. At a protest soon after, police arrested and jailed 20 people for 2 days, including some of the names on that list.
This shows the power, the key role that bloggers play in this movement and in this kind of activity in Egypt.
One of the other bloggers targeted for spreading what the government called false news posted this video of alleged torture and rape in an Egyptian prison. The visuals in this video are as horrific as the sound, and too graphic to be described in detail here. It's videos like this and other posts documenting human rights abuses that have made Egyptian bloggers targets of the government. The blogger who posted a copy of that torture video also has a warrant out for his arrest and claims he's being harassed by police. Blogger Alech Abdel Fattah says he wasn't tortured during his time in jail, but knows others who have been, and he believes a similar fate may await Karim Amer, the blogger who's just begun his 4-year sentence.
There are thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands of people, that have been picked up, thrown into administrative detention. Most of them are Islamist.
Lawrence Wright documented the genesis of Al-Qaeda in his book, The Looming Tower, and he says torture is rampant in Egypt's jails.
I think, along with many of the human rights workers, that the particular appetite for carnage that's so characteristic of Al-Qaeda can be attributed to the brutality of those Egyptian prisons. And it's paradoxical, isn't it, that the people that are most subjected to this kind of treatment are the Islamists and the reformists, two people who have nothing else in common.
Regrettably, we have had some cases of human rights violations. We admit to that, but we also prosecute those who violate it. This is not a government policy to accept this.
Ambassador Fahmy believes a lot of progress has been made on social and political reforms. But according to Human Rights Watch, some of the officers accused of torture have not been prosecuted. Even Fahmy admits that how they go forward in dealing with bloggers still remains a question mark.
The blogger experience is new for us in Egypt, although it's up from a couple of hundred to well over 4,000 now. And society will have to get used to all this.
Constantino Diaz-Duran is a coordinator with FreeKarim.org here in America. They've been campaigning on Karim's behalf, including organizing protests outside of Egyptian embassies around the world. But Diaz-Duran feels they're providing another important service to Karim.
Prisoners in Egypt depend on their family for basic necessities such as clothing, even decent food and medical care. Karim has been disowned by his family.
In fact, Karim's father has said that he would like to see Islamic Sharia law applied. This would give Karim 3 days to repent or face execution. As dire as that sounds, this may be a last option. On Monday, an Egyptian court rejected an appeal for Karim's release, a move the U.S. State Department has condemned. For NPR News, I'm Shani Jardin.
You can sign up for Shani's podcast at our website. Go to npr.org/Shani. That's X-E-N-I.